Welcome to the UBS studio in New York City for another episode of Through the Wealth Lens. In our business, we often work with clients who are high performing and often at the top of their games when it comes to their specific areas of expertise. But what happens when these high performers have to deal with something they aren't familiar with, something that is unpredictable? Today, we have the pleasure of welcoming on Katie Michelson, divorce and family law equity partner of Bierman LLP, the largest family law firm in Illinois with over 50 attorneys exclusively practicing for ultra high net worth individuals. Katie has represented many professional athletes and will address the question of, as an athlete facing something he or she is not familiar with, why is it okay to know what you don't know and to ask for help when you aren't familiar or an expert on a particular topic or subject? Welcome to the show, Katie.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, Katie, to kick off our conversation today, I want us to think of it from a perspective of a professional athlete. They are often superstars at their sport and position, but may not be as well-versed in the financial side of things, not because they lack intelligence, but because they simply are not aware of how complex it is, and no one has ever taught them what to look out for. We always stress the importance of having a strong team of advisors around you as a professional athlete. What do athletes often get wrong when forming this team, and what can they do to own the process?
I think it's a great question. I think generally what I see is that they hand control over to one person. Athletes, I think, are used to trusting the individuals who are working with them. They will identify one person that they think is that trusted advisor. But the problem with that is we have a lot of moving parts. We have a lot of things that are happening with professional athletes that they have to have attended to. So by having just one person controlling everything, that ultimately is not in their best interest. They also don't necessarily understand who's doing what. Everybody who works with a professional athlete has an individual role. There's a lot of moving parts when you're dealing with somebody with significant wealth, endorsement deals, anything that requires some type of expertise. So by having one person identified to do a specific job, that's obviously a much better way than not really kind of understanding who's doing what. What I also often tell my clients is you don't need to be an expert, but you do need to stay in the room. So another thing that I often have seen is a disengagement. A willingness not to get involved because it feels either overwhelming or it feels that it's not really their job. Their job is either to be on the court, be on the field, and they're depending upon the individuals who they've hired to do the job. What I have told people that I have represented is don't outsource your judgment. Super important to remember. And if no one is asking questions, that's a real problem. So oftentimes I'll tell my clients, leave a meeting with at least one why question. Be involved, know who's doing what, and don't leave everything to just one person.
Oh, I really like that. I'm gonna start doing that. Leave every meeting with a why question. So Katie, in your experience with both ultra high net worth athletes and general ultra high net worth clients, how do you know when a particular case will be complicated? You know, are there any early warning signs or ongoing warning signs throughout the process?
I think it's a really good question because I think ultimately there are three things that come to mind with professional athletes. First, we have complex money situations, number one. Number two, it can often be high conflict. And three, there can be an uneven knowledge base. So when I have those three things that are ultimately at the same time happening, I know a case can be complicated. I know it can be filled with a lot of nuance. What I do suggest to people is take things one step at a time. Ultimately, having complex money issues, high conflict, and uneven knowledge can be a landmine for an explosion of many things that are happening at once. And as we talked about, professional athletes are focusing their attention on the field. They're focusing their attention on a court. They're not focused on money, high conflict, and an uneven knowledge. So basically what I will do is I will spot that type of case and I will take a step back and I'll ask my clients to take a step back and identify issue spot for them. When you have money issues that are concerning, if you have high conflict with parties involving each other, and you don't have everybody really understanding what's going on, whether it's goals, concerns of a case, that's when I see that there's a lot of problems. So being transparent, from my perspective, being transparent with my clients and having my clients be transparent with me is the key. I also tell my clients that complex finances plus high emotion will inevitably issue equal risk. And so when you have that, if you have that equation of complex finances, high emotion, and risk, you are going to have a very difficult situation. So what I will do is I will back it up. I will have my clients identify in each of those categories what potentially is going on, try to extrapolate, and make things in a much better order.
And to follow up from my previous question, Katie, have there been moments in representing athletes when you've had to level with them about potential outcomes?
I constantly have to. That's a good thing in my book. My job as a family law attorney, as an advisor, is to tell a client what's likely. It's not what they want to hear. So when I level set with my clients, which is incredibly, incredibly important, it brings clarity. And from my perspective, clarity early saves pain later. Hope can't be a strategy. How we hope to resolve a case, be it a complicated issue, a complicated matter with finances, a child-related issue that might be a little bit sticky, we don't want to hope away what ultimately we can do to resolve. What a professional athlete really needs to be careful about doing is staying involved in the process, asking an attorney for a range of outcomes. What is the range of possibilities that ultimately could come from one from my particular issue? Not one answer. And ultimately, if an attorney is only giving one answer, or, as I say, giving a guarantee, you know there's a red flag, and you know that attorney is not being honest with the client. I also want attorneys to separate out what is possible from what is probable. That also is a lot of that reality check that we as family law attorneys can give our clients, because having that idea of what is probable versus possible brings everybody into a realistic time frame. And last, I oftentimes will tell clients, do not rely on advice from friends. We all know that Google is not always our best friend. Now it's any kind of AI. It is not the time to be relying on those types of sources, because every case is specific and every case should be handled in a unique way.
I think Hannes and I can really relate to that, because there are so many situations where other professionals maybe don't want to deliver that difficult news or give the truth about a certain situation. And we always say we're happy to be the bad guys, because I think at the end of the day that ultimately benefits the client more. So just incredibly important piece of advice there.
And Katie, how do you approach such a situation, one that requires you to manage expectations?
I keep it simple. Simple works. Here's what the law provides. Here is what matters. Here is what we can control. And something that's incredibly important is to talk about what we can't control. What we can't control is as important to know as what we can control. People do better when they're informed, not when they're surprised. So my job is to inform my clients, to give them a range of possible outcomes, so that at the end of the day, they have a choice. One of the things that I find, probably the one of the most fascinating things I find about what I do, is people feel that they don't have a choice. They don't have a choice in the process. My job is to give them those choices. Ultimately, a family that I am responsible for, because when I'm representing an athlete, I'm not just representing the one individual. I'm representing the individuals who depend upon that athlete or a person in the spotlight. Ultimately, I need for those people to make choices, and they need to make choices that take into account many factors around them. Predictable doesn't mean perfect. It just means prepared, and being prepared is the ultimate key to being successful in a family law case. And you can't control everything, but the one thing that you can control, and I will often tell my clients this, is you can control your approach. You can control your actions. And having that feeling of control is incredibly important in a system that can oftentimes be very much out of control.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And of course, you know, without naming names and specifics, you know, we'd love to hear of a particular situation maybe that you've faced throughout your career, you know, that comes to mind. It really jumps out at you when you think about a complicated case.
When I think about a complicated case, I think of the pace. A pace of a case involving, for example, an athlete who has many demands on him or her. It's a different pace. There's also a lot of different factors in play. As we talked about, complex finances, high publicity, individuals that inevitably want something from that athlete. They're looking for either in the form of endorsement deals, looking for them to invest, asking for decisions, and ultimately needing it yesterday. It's the same playbook as many of my cases, except it's a faster game. But the fundamentals don't change. It's just the pressure. So when I think of an individual case that really sticks out of my mind, and you're right, without getting into specifics, I think of pressure, I think of pace, I think of publicity. You have many things that are operating that a normal, I'll call it everyday person, who's not in the limelight, who is not in the limelight, is not experiencing. So when I am working with professional athletes, when I'm working for those individuals in the spotlight, I have to think about that pressure. I have to think about that spotlight that is on him or her constantly. And ultimately, that requires a special skill set. It requires me to be very even. It requires me to be calm, provide advice that they can understand, and allows them to be part of the process.
Yeah, Kaitlyn, you'd already touched on this a little bit before, but in your opinion, what should athletes expect of their advisors to ensure their goals are truly met and they're not just being placated?
I think that I've touched on it a bit in my other comments to you, but honesty is key. Clarity is key. Knowing what the goals are going to be and mapping out a clear expectation of what an athlete can expect, I think that's incredibly important. I also think feedback is important. Attorneys should never be hired as talking heads. We should be providing advice based upon our experience, and sometimes it's not what the client wants to hear, and that's tough. That's really, really tough for somebody who is used to being in the limelight, ultimately calling the shots. It's very, very hard for somebody to do a reality check with somebody who's so used to being in control and having individuals who are likely, frankly, going to be catering to them. So attorneys, as long as in addition to every other type of advisor, does not always need to agree with you. And I think that that's a really hard thing for an individual to understand. If an attorney agrees with a client all the time, in my opinion, that's not a good sign because we're not doing our job. Our job is to reality test. It is to be frank with our clients. It's to say, what are the possible outcomes and what could happen if you do this? Or if alternatively you take this route, what ultimately could be that outcome? You're not hiring a cheerleader. I'm not being hired as a cheerleader. I am being hired for my judgment. And my judgment is because of my years of experience, my ability to test and understand prior experiences of similar individuals. Now, I say that with the idea that every case is unique. So an attorney should never be taking a cookie cutter approach ever to a case. And my last comment would be that good advice isn't always comfortable. It's not always a comfortable conversation. And clients need to understand that comfort is really not part of my job. My job is to be empathetic. It's to understand my client's particular situation, but I'm there to guide, and I'm there to guide with my judgment.
Yeah, I can imagine that must be tough. I'm imagining the the star quarterback who's directing the troops, and he basically expects everything to follow his, you know, his word, and then having to come in and hear something that he may or not, that he may not like.
Correct.
Just because it's bad news. So yeah, that can't be easy. Are there certain strategies you regularly deploy that you find is necessary for most professional athletes? For example, prenups or cohabitation agreements, et cetera?
I think that prenuptial agreements are incredibly important. Prenups are always a difficult conversation. And whether you are a professional athlete, whether you're a business owner, whoever you are, it's a very hard conversation to have. But prenups equal planning. And I always say to my clients that when you consider the value of knowing how something likely will turn out, it puts you back in the driver's seat. So prenuptial agreements are for when there is a plan. It's not for when it should be. Prenups are a plan, and it should be for when things are good, not when they're falling apart. And so ultimately, it should be a conversation had with an attorney. I will have conversations with my clients all the time about what does a prenup look like? What should you expect a prenup can cover and what can it not cover? And ultimately, what is in your best interest and what is in your best interest to plan for now versus leaving it out to chance? And especially when you are having deep financial conversations, that needs to happen early on. So the earlier that one has that conversation about a prenuptial agreement, the better, because there are many things that need to be discussed with a prenuptial agreement. The allocation of assets, what happens in the event of support being needed. And ultimately, if there are significant assets or income earning potential, which professional athletes, as we know, have a specific contract term, which lasts for a certain amount of time, and if they know in the future years that ultimately their income stream is going to increase significantly, a prenup conversation needs to happen very, very early on. What I would recommend to my clients when they're considering a prenuptial agreement is ultimately keeping their finances organized, making sure that their financial advisors understand and can teach them about what it is that they're ultimately going to receive from an income and asset perspective, take all of that information and put it into a document that they understand.
Yeah, and I think the key here, it sounds like do it while times are good, right? Not when you're already heading towards disagreements, so yeah.
So to wrap up our conversation today, you know, we've talked a lot about professional athletes. What are some of the biggest differences you've seen when working on a case with a pro athlete versus, you know, a general ultra high net worth client, let's say an entrepreneur or a business professional or owner?
I've touched a bit on pace, but I can't emphasize enough that pace is very different for the professional athlete. The professional athlete is held to a schedule. There are things that are happening at lightning speed. There is a spotlight that ultimately is not on a business owner, could be, depending upon what the situation is. But a professional athlete will have pace and spotlight. Those two things can be very, very difficult. There's also a shorter earning window. Ultimately, the time, the ramp up of the earning of income, of the accumulation of assets is going to be shorter. There's also more public pressure. And ultimately, when you consider all of that together, it's a pressure cooker coming together. But generally, the core issues are all the same. And I would probably say to my clients who own businesses or who ultimately are dealing with high asset, high income situations, the same advice. You need to be focused on the fundamentals. You can't vary from the fundamentals. And your family law attorney should say to you, the fundamentals aren't changing. Whether you are a professional athlete or whether you're a business owner, the fundamentals don't change, it's just the pressure. So knowing that the individuals who I represent are under a tremendous amount of pressure, you have to fine-tune your approach to that. We need to prioritize long-term planning. And long-term planning is incredibly important when you have short careers. We hope our professional athletes don't have short careers, but the reality is that many of them do. And so ultimately what we need to do is focus on long-term planning with them. And that's also from a legal standpoint as well as a financial standpoint. We also need to be very focused on protecting privacy. So dealing with athletes, what we're dealing with is individuals who are very much in the limelight, in the spotlight, and they are constantly being watched. So prioritizing that priority, protecting that privacy where we can is incredibly, incredibly important. And I could say that delaying decisions because things are moving fast is the wrong move. People can't delay decisions because things are moving at a fast pace. They need to make decisions that are informed decisions, but the right decisions for them and their family. So putting something off because it's coming very quickly and is requiring an answer in a quick manner is not going to help a client. It requires advisors who are going to guide, who are going to, as much as possible, slow down a timeline, but understand that they're operating under a timeline that requires quick thinking, quick action, and thorough results.
Yeah, I think that's why I think it's so important to have a team of really experts, right? Because they can distill, analyze information quickly and give the client the information that he can then use to decide on what course of action he wants to take.
Yes.
Right, so, well, Katie, we really appreciate you being on with us today and discussing a topic that is so important for professional athletes, entertainers, and really any individual with significant wealth. For those who would like to further connect with Katie, she can be found on LinkedIn or at bermanlaw.com. Until next time, thank you for joining us for another episode of Through the Wealth Lens.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.